Okay, everybody, I think that that should give everybody ample time to join us on the call. And the great thing about these teleclasses is they are recorded, so if folks happen to miss the call, they can actually listen to it after the fact. But what's great about being live on the call with me is you get to ask your questions, and that's my favorite part. So hi there, and welcome to Mindset, Making the Sales and Marketing Part of Running Your Business Easier. And we all want that, right? So everybody doing good today, I hope?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. And just feel free to mute your line while I go through the content first, and then we'll open it up for Q&A at the end, my favorite part. So on this call, I'll help ease the fear or confusion you may have around the idea of selling your coaching services. And I want to give you a few ideas that will help you create a healthy seller's mindset. Because by being a coach, we know how important mindset is, right? So I'm Terry Pappy, and I am an ILCT alumni. So I had my foundations training last year. And just love the school, love everything that that they're doing there. And I'm also the CEO of Better 3, a creative marketing agency specializing in helping experts who coach, consult, or train simplify their marketing and scale their practice so they can grow their income to the next level. We all want that, right? So my background is in creative communications. I have been 35, that's got to be more than 35 years, doing this work, and I began in the pre-internet days and have evolved my skills and experience through just about every form of marketing medium you can imagine. I've also published 6 books on business and creative problem solving, and I really love helping business owners have more confidence and be the boss of their marketing. So the reason why I chose this topic for the second session in this series about mindset is because selling is a huge challenge for coaches and, you know, honestly, for a lot of business owners. And being a coach, the last thing you want to do is have your mindset around selling stop you from connecting and helping the people who really need your expertise. So let's just go ahead and dive into mindset around selling. What is it about the idea of selling that's so intimidating for so many people? You know, a lot of coaches are so intent on being of service that they feel that the sales aspect of their business is like smarmy and manipulative, or they really just don't want to get shot down. But wouldn't you rather hear someone say, you know, thank you, it's not for me, and move on versus having to spend countless hours trying to convert someone who really isn't a good fit for you? So don't let the fear of rejection stop you from having sales conversations. For me, my big issue was that I didn't want to bother people. I don't know if any of you have that similar experience, but I just didn't want to bother anybody. And I didn't want to hear no either, but what really stopped me from being an effective seller when I first started my company 12 years ago was really just bothering people. I'm going to pause for a second. Make sure your phones are muted so we don't get any background noise on the recording. Okay. Fabulous. Thank you so much for doing that. I'm just trying to respect the integrity of the recording. Now, as I was sharing about, you know, how I didn't want to bother people, that may sound kind of funny, but it's really what I was struggling with. And I didn't really identify it right away. I just knew I was really uncomfortable around selling. So as you probably can imagine, we all have our own conditioning and fears that actually drive our behavior and our mindset. And this one for me was a business killer because I was so, like, consumed with my mindset around not bothering people and that sales wasn't my thing and just all the things that were wrapped up in my own business mindset around doing sales and growing my business, I wasn't getting business as a result of it. So I had to fix it. So I took, you know, I mean, what do we normally do? We take a class, we read books, right? So I did sales training, I read books on selling, I hired online sales gurus to teach me the ins and outs of online selling and how to script my strategy sessions. I mean, I even did Tony Robbins' business mastery course because I was just so intent on just fixing this problem. Now, I started deploying the techniques I was learning. Some worked, you know, kind of like short interim fixes, but most of the time it really didn't work. So it was like, well, I'm learning all this stuff. What really is at the root of this? So what was really at the heart of it was wasn't my lack of sales training. It wasn't about technique. It was my mindset. So, but what was super cool was that I had the key to shifting my mindset. I'd written several books on creative problem solving, as I mentioned before, and using creative visualization, among other practices. And I used them to shift my anti-sales mindset to a pro, like, love of selling mindset. And it really worked. So after working on that, I started getting real results. And that's really when I noticed that mindset was really at the heart of my selling actually working. So my consult calls became fluid. I was closing more business. I was having great conversations. I was feeling more comfortable. It was just amazing how just a little tweak in my mindset made such a difference in the results I was getting. So powerful, in fact, I wrote a book, another book after that, about how to do it. And it's called Confident Entrepreneur Guide to Selling, Sell with More Confidence and Achieve Better Results. And in it, I share stories of my whole selling journey, from knocking on doors, selling posters as a seventh grader, to working at a retail clothing store selling, clothing to men. It was a men's clothing store. I remember the mall and everything. It was up in Pittsburgh. It was so funny. And then my other selling jobs more recently before I started my business was selling digital ad space to big companies when I worked for the Tribune Company. So even though my core career has been marketing communications, there are roles that included selling. And no matter what you do in any kind of business, you're going to have some capacity that's going to call you to sell. Even if it's, you know, you're out to dinner and you run into somebody and they're, you know, somebody you met a couple years ago and you're like, hey, how you been? You know, what's going on in your business? Oh, I'm doing great. You know, there's an opportunity to sell right there because that person could be a referral. They could even be a client. So there's always opportunities, even when you get to the point when you have salespeople on your staff. So getting that mindset in the right groove is really critical to understanding how important selling is to your business. So to this day, I got to tell you, I still have a natural resistance to selling because it's part of my conditioning from when I was a kid. So I still don't want to bother people. Like, I have that, you know, like, I want to be a servant. I don't want to ask people to do something. I mean, that's kind of how my initial natural setting is, which is the mindset that's totally anti-sales, unproductive. And I, of course, still don't like rejection. Who does? It's not a comfortable place for me. However, even though I'm still predisposed to that conditioning, now that I have the, I guess you could say, the secret shifting mindset, it's easy for me to click into gear and close sales for my business. And a lot of it, honestly, is about being in action. So this is like your first tip to break through the things that that you resist around sales. Sometimes just actually kind of forcing yourself to take an action, picking up the phone and calling somebody, going onto LinkedIn and sending someone that you haven't, you know, met a connection request and starting a conversation. Sending somebody an email and just being in action, starting to ask questions, starting to add people to your network. That's literally how simple it can be to get things started in your sales for your business. So being in action is like, you know, it's like the Nike slogan, just do it. You know, it's one way to kick your mindset into the right gear to earn sales. Because a lot of people have just kind of like this fear of taking that first step and making that call or doing that outreach. So once you do it, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm still alive on the other side of this. I can actually, you know, do this again. And then you keep doing it. So being in action is one of the first things that you can take on as far as helping your mindset shift. So it's like the mind starts to follow the body at that point. The sales techniques you want to use will work that much better at closing business. And there definitely are some ways to approach sales as you're having these consultations or your complimentary first coaching session with a client, a prospective client, and you're working with people and having, you know, the sales conversation, so to speak. So there are some techniques that do improve your ability to make that prospect aware of not only their pain, what they're experiencing, but also that things are basically going to get worse if they don't work with you. And you want to do that in a very nice, healthy, professional way, and instead of just being like manipulative or, you know, coercion, you know, having coercion in your conversation and pressuring people, because that's all what our mindsets are trained to believe around selling. That it's about manipulation, it's about coercion, it's about someone being dubious or trying to take advantage of you. And it's unfortunate that there are those very commonly held stigmas and thoughts and beliefs around selling, which certainly does not make it easy. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, just knowing that that's kind of like the preconditioning that most people have around selling is usually where to start when you're looking at mindset. Like, what do I believe to be true about selling? What was my conditioning? Where did that come from? And what was I exposed to that actually helped cultivate that belief system that I have? So later on, I'm going to be giving you some questions to ask that are really good probing questions around selling using appreciative inquiry. So that way you can actually have some, like an exercise you can do that's going to help you. So I'll tell you now that's coming. So you might want to get a piece of paper to write this down, or if you're at your computer, you can type it up. All right, so I just want to give you a heads up on that. Now, again, when you get your mindset aligned first, the sales techniques you want to use will work that much better at closing business. One of the most powerful things that I learned in my sales training was that we sell like we buy. And I'll say that again, we sell like we buy. So how that showed up for me was like I would go into a store and I'd see a price and I would just accept it, like, and pay it, right? I didn't question it. I didn't try to get a discount. I didn't negotiate. I mean, it's a retail setting, right? It's just how I was raised. It's like that's the price on the sticker, whether it's a sale price or full price, and I just go up to the register. I mean, do you negotiate with your grocery clerk as you're checking out? No, of course not. So that was my mentality, right? So then I met my husband, Chuck, who was an amazing salesman. We'd go into a store together, and at the checkout counter, he'd always ask the clerk for a discount. He did it in such a charming way, too. Just thinking about it puts a big smile on my face. I would just stand by his side, just marveling at his finesse. He was so smooth. And he wasn't trying to manipulate the real retailer. He knew they only had so much ability to offer something to a customer. But it would make me so uncomfortable watching him do this because, again, remember, my mindset was I don't want to bother this person or put them in an awkward situation. But eventually I got used to it because invariably he would not only get a discount, but that same salesperson would always have a big smile and seem like they really enjoyed doing something nice for Chuck as the customer because he was so kind and he was so friendly about it. It was like we left there with a new friend. And, you know, I remember the first time he did it, and after we walked out of the store, I said, honey, I was mortified. I was like, I can't believe you asked for a discount. That was Best Buy. You don't ask for discounts. They can't give discounts. I said, why did you do that? I was like, I felt like I was scolding it, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. And he got the biggest smile on his face, and he said, well, you never know until you ask. And it was that simple. I mean, I had such a a mind shift at that point. I was blown away. And you know what? He was right. To this day, I still resist the question when I'm checking out, but I actually have tried it on several occasions, you know, and asked for discounts. They, you know, obviously not as smoothly as Chuck would have done, but because I still have that discomfort, you know, so I'm kind of stumbling over my words and like, oh, well, today I hear you're giving a big discount. And I'm like, oh my God, I just smacked my face and my hand on my forehead and go, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. But you know what's funny is I am proud to say that I have actually gotten a few discounts here and there by doing that, because I always remember what he said, you never know until you ask. And so that's just one little story I wanted to share about, you know, how selling can really alter how you approach having those conversations with prospects. And when you sell like you buy, you know, just looking at how do you buy, you know, are you like me? Do you go in and say, oh, it's $100? Fine, no problem, here's $100. Or do you actually say, you know, have a conversation about, is there any way you can either throw something in for free, you know, negotiate something that works better, because it never hurts to ask. And that's just one example of if that seller's mindset or approach of buying is how you come into selling, then of course no wonder. I mean, it makes perfect sense why I was very unsuccessful in selling, because I never would ask the uncomfortable questions, what I felt was uncomfortable, when actually the other person, the prospect on the other end of the phone, would be wanting me to ask them that question, because that's why they're talking to me. They want help and they want me to help them. So if I'm not asking them to actually work with me, then they're never going to work with me and they're never going to get the help they need. So it sounds basic, but that's really what it boils down to. If you're not being in action, putting yourself on the phone, asking the questions that you need to ask as someone who is selling coaching services or promoting your business, you're never going to get to that point where that other person is going to say, yes, I want to work with you, or I'd like to work with you, but can you work with me on the budget, or can you, you know, do XYZ? And then it becomes a conversation between the two of you to find a solution that works for both of you, and there's nothing wrong with that. So getting back to the mindset awareness, the first thing you need to do when working on mindset is really to identify which mindset is running the show. You know, use the examples I've already given, you know, about you sell like you buy, and, you know, what was your conditioning about, and what is your thinking around what selling is. Now, in my guide to selling, I have a whole chapter dedicated to identifying and shifting to a selling mindset. It has a ton of creative problem solving exercises in it, and I'll share a few here, as I mentioned earlier, so you can have some tactical exercises you can do to rev up your seller's mindset. So if you don't, I'm going to pause between each one so you can write it down, but if you don't get all these, or you don't have the opportunity, like if you're driving and listening, if you don't have the opportunity to write this down, don't worry, it's going to be on the recording. So once Annie posts it on the website, you'll be able to go back and just listen to it about halfway through or whatever and pick up these actual questions. So ask yourself these questions as you examine mindset and shift to a seller's mindset. They're based on appreciative inquiry, as I mentioned before, and they're designed to be exploratory in nature. I'll go through them slow so you can write them down or catch them on the recording, as I mentioned. So there's seven of them all together. And this is really for you to just sit down and maybe do some journaling or just write out your answers and just allow yourself to really think about the question, because they're very probing, and write about it, because I think you'll be surprised at what comes up. So the first one is, who do you admire who sells well? Who do you admire who sells well? Now, this could be an author, it could be a business person, it could be someone in your family. So what is it about them and the way they sell that you admire? The first two are, who do you admire who sells well? The second one is, what is it about them and the way they sell that you admire? So the distinction here is, not just who do you admire, but what is it about their selling skills or their ability to communicate or promote what they want to promote to someone, like a stranger or a customer, a prospect rather, that works really well, that you really admire? What are they doing? Really examine what it is that you like about that. Number three is, what was the best selling experience you've had so far? What was the best selling experience you've had so far? Now, this could be a selling experience that you delivered, meaning you are selling someone else, or it could mean you were sold by someone. For example, like, let's say you went and stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, and you were having a great visit, and you had the opportunity to learn more about their timeshare. And even though timeshare is kind of smarmy in and of itself, I actually used to work for a timeshare company, so I can say that. And the person that was telling you about that timeshare was incredible. They were professional. They were kind. They delivered a wonderful experience selling you actually a whole timeshare vacation. Or it could be something even simpler, like someone who sold you something at a farmer's market, you know, like it was a craftsman and they had this unique wood, you know, decorative box or something that like would do something really cool. And it was the actual craftsman who made it. And they talked to you about it and they described the wood they chose and everything about the whole, I mean, you just had to like, I want to buy five, right? You were so enthralled by the way they talked about it and the way they sold it to you that it was one of the best selling experiences that you've ever had. So for that one, it's the best one that you've experienced, whether it was someone selling you or you selling a client. And number four is, what would you envision as a successful selling experience? What would you envision as a successful selling experience? Now, this is something that you would create in your mind. Like, what would be the ideal selling experience, whether it would be you selling or you being sold? What would you envision as a successful selling experience? Number five is, how would you like sales to function in your business? How would you like sales to function in your business? And as you're doing these last two, try to think like open about it, meaning try not to, you know, let past experiences or constraints around current environment or culture or social norms confine how you would like that. So be creative, think open, and have fun with it. So number five is, how would you like sales to function in your business? Number six is, what would happen if you were incredibly successful at sales? What would happen if you were incredibly successful at sales? Just thinking about that question makes me excited. What would happen if you were incredibly successful at sales? And then number seven is, what could your sales look like a year from now? What could your sales look like a year from now? So that's also another open possibility question. So there's seven exploratory questions based in appreciative inquiry, so focusing on the positive, and using positive outcomes to actually discover and create some new pathways to solutions that will work better for you guys in your practice. So it will help you flesh out how you really feel about sales and selling and what you want it to look like in your business, because everybody wants to handle sales differently in their business. Sure, there's some best practices on what works well, and you definitely want to deploy those, but at the end of the day, this is your practice, It's your business, and you want to do sales and conduct your relationship building the way that you want to do it, the way that you're most comfortable with it, and the way that actually delivers the best results. Okay? So it's really the first step to examining mindset, as these probing questions will help you identify where your sales mindset issues are. And as I mentioned, you'll probably be surprised at some of the answers that come to the surface. So selling is all about building relationships. It's about looking for the possible connection of where what you do fits the needs of another. You know, to do selling right and with integrity, it's about having a growth mindset. And if any of you guys were listening to the first call, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the recording. I talk a little bit more in depth about the growth mindset, which is from Carol Dweck's book on mindset. And as I was saying, to do selling right and with integrity, it's about having a growth mindset. That's easier for us coaches because we naturally have a desire to help others grow, right? Well, selling is no different. You have to sell if you're in business. Gulp that medicine down with a smile because it's going to make you hugely successful. And remember, if someone says no, more than likely it doesn't mean no forever. It just means no right now. Right timing is a factor when selling. So when you understand that selling is more about building relationships, it takes a lot of the heat off to convert people into clients. Understand that you're cultivating a relationship over time, so when they finally are ready, you've already been in a relationship with them and you are a trusted resource. So the next logical step for them is to get out their checkbook and say, I'm ready, let's go. So the next part is the Q&A session. I always like to leave half of these calls for Q&A because it's a great opportunity to learn through someone else's specific experience. And so this is where you're going to get to ask your most burning questions about whatever is challenging in you in business. And that's not just sales. If there are other things in business around marketing, communication, customers, pricing, anything regarding business, except for legal, because I have no clue about how to talk about legal stuff other than hire an attorney. So, you know, no matter how minor or how complex, I want to help you and do as many as we can on the remaining time that we have on the call. So, but before we get into that, I put together a special just for this class. And that also includes those of you who are listening to the recording after this original call date. So if you're interested in learning more about this special I've put together for you, go to better3.com/special. Again, that's better3, B as in boy, E-T-T-E-R, the number 3.com/special. And as always, you can email me with your questions anytime, even well after this recording has been posted. My email address is terry@better3.com, and that's spelled Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, @better3.com. All right, cool. So let's go ahead and open it up for live Q&A. When it comes to the selling part of your business, what's stopping you? Where is your mindset when it comes to picking up the phone and having that consultation where you ask people to buy your coaching package or work with you? Are you using a script? What are you doing to qualify prospects? Are you more focused on getting the prospect as a client versus really identifying if they meet the criteria you have set for your ideal client? Are you paying attention to red flags during your consultation? Or are you ignoring them because you really want the business? Tell me what you're struggling with regarding selling or whatever it is you're challenged with in growing your practice.
Terry, this is Amy. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Hi, Amy.
Just a reminder, yeah. *6 to unmute your line.
Hi, Terry. This is Joanne speaking.
Joanne?
Yes. Hi there.
Hi, Joanne. How are you, my dear? Thank you for being here today. How can I help you?
One of the things that I think is a challenge for many of us is I think we realize we have to get out in front of the people to the that sort of ideal clients in order to actually begin to have those kind of conversations. And that is not always an easy process, even where we have a clear idea of what those clients might be. Actually sort of working out the best way to get out in front of them, other than a very sort of general kind of spread the seed across the internet or Facebook. I would really value a bit of input on your thoughts on that.
Okay, great. Yes, great. Obviously, the how-to of getting that engine going is always a great place to start. So if you'll allow me to ask you some questions more specific to your situation, that would be a great way for me to help you on this call. How's that sound?
That's fine. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, great. So tell me about your coaching practice or your business so I have a little bit of context.
Okay, so I'm kind of really in the very early stages, and I've been kind of working on a number of different niches and packages that I'm looking to offer. So one, I worked for many years in the education field. So one of the groups of people that I would really love to serve are those working in education, because there's a lot of stress out there, and a lot of people who are very passionate and very committed to their job are actually getting up and walking out and leaving the profession just because of the heavy burden of stress that they face. So that's kind of one group. Another group is I worked internationally for many years for a number of international aid agencies. And again, it's a similar theme about living resiliently in some of those hardship postings, and how to do that in a way that safeguards your well-being. So that's the two kind of particular niches I'm exploring right now.
Okay. So are you currently coaching any of those, like, educational clients right now?
Actually not. Any of the clients I have are all at life transitions, So I seem to have got clients that are more through personal connection and who are in the midst of transitions, but they're not sort of the ideal clients that I've identified, which is kind of strange.
Okay. Well, a client's a client, right? And it's helping you figure out your preferences and what you really want to do, which it sounds like they're doing. And, you know, as we all learned in our coaching training, if it moves, coach it, right? So we want as many opportunities to practice our techniques as possible so we get more and more confident as a coach, and we learn how to refine our skills as a coach and provide even more value. I mean, that's your lifelong journey, is to always be in this continuous process improvement about your own skills and what you bring to the table. So that being said, it sounds to me more like you're struggling not with selling necessarily, but marketing. And the marketing aspect is really, you know, even though you say you've identified your ideal audience, it really hasn't, based on what you share with me, it doesn't sound like it's defined. You've basically focused on a group of people, but these people, do they have money?
I think they do.
Okay, because, well, you know, a lot of people in the education field, one of the reasons they quit is because they can't support themselves, because I don't know where you're based here. That's always a constant challenge for us here is adequate pay for teachers, especially at the grade level.
Yeah, it's not actually the case here. Teachers are pretty well paid.
Okay, good. Now, the next question is, are they willing to invest their money in getting relief through the vehicle of coaching?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the things that I'm still doing a bit of market research, you know, how much people are actually prepared to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And maybe not, you know, but yeah. So, yes, I think you're right in that, it is a marketing piece, but I'm kind of thinking I need to get beyond that before I can even get to a point where I'm confidently presenting the kind of services that I offer.
Okay. Now, you'll have to forgive me because I'm not, being that you're based in the UK, I'm not familiar with what you have access to as far as what's on the internet. So do you have access to LinkedIn?
Yes.
Do you use LinkedIn? Okay.
Yes.
So since coaching is a professional skill, I recommend that you start leveraging LinkedIn to reach out to people in the profession of education that fits your criteria and start conversations.
Okay.
And those conversations are, you know, just say, you can come at it so many different ways. I'm not going to try to dictate tactics to you, but you can come at it from the perspective of, you know, I'm starting a coaching business. You know, be honest, I'm starting a coaching business and I'm specializing in working with people in the education field. And you can be more specific if you want, you know, who deal with maybe special needs children or are working with, you know, people like adults who are coming back into the education system through university or something like that. So you can be even more specific if you want. What I would recommend is that you look to people that will have obviously the most money and the most appreciation of how coaching could help them, how working with somebody who can help them deal with whatever may be frustrating them through the education system can actually help them. Okay. And I would literally, and you can search those things. You can put in that criteria into LinkedIn, you know, as far as their, you know, their current employment, you know, their job title. You can find all of that. And then you'll start, you know, if you track it and you do it methodically, you can actually collect some really powerful data around these people and how they label themselves in LinkedIn. And so those are really critical things. And the way, you know, there's a lot of training out there. Lynda.com has great training, really good training on LinkedIn. Again, that's Lynda.com, and it's spelled L-Y-N-D-A, and that's Lynda Wineman. She started her business years ago writing books for graphic designers on how to go from traditional print media to the web. And she developed this huge online training company, and LinkedIn actually bought her company a couple years ago. So now all of the things you see regarding LinkedIn training is actually her content. But what's cool about it is because LinkedIn owns her company now, the training that they have for LinkedIn is awesome. It's absolutely the best. And I mean that for everybody. If you want to learn how to really use LinkedIn. And I'm not saying become an advertiser in LinkedIn, because you don't have to advertise, you don't have to spend a dime on LinkedIn to have it be a huge source of clients for your business. Mm-hmm. Is to get on LinkedIn, you know, take a couple of those classes, you know how to navigate it, how to search, how to do this, that, and the other, and start reaching out to people. Introduce yourself, you know, find these people and just come out and say, you know, I'm just starting a new practice and I want to focus on helping people in, you know, the education field. I would love to, you know, pick your brain, ask you a couple of questions about what are some of the challenges that you're dealing with. And so you're really treating it like a research project. Sure. So I'm not implying that you manipulate them into a sales conversation. I think since you're in the early stages, Joanne, that you really should truly treat this as a research project, because what it's going to do for you, and this, anybody can do this, by the way, so whoever else is on the phone or listening to the recording, try this, because this is really, really critical. I use this and recommend this to all my clients. You need to learn what your ideal client is struggling with. You need to know how they're feeling. You need to understand their emotions, because when you write your ad copy, when you create your posts and your this and your programs and all that stuff. You need to talk about their problems and what they're struggling with, because they won't hear you the way they need to hear you if you talk about coaching, if you talk about your how you do your coaching. You know, in these early relationship building conversations and communications, you want them to get in their brains that you understand their world, that you really understand what they're struggling with, that you have that, you're able to truly, with integrity, have that empathy for their situation. We all know, everybody on this call and listening, that you're capable to coach, that you've had your training, that you've had practice, and that you're good at what you do. There's no doubt that you're able to bring about results for people. But you don't need to convince them of that up front, right? So yeah. What you want to do is you want to create the relationship. You want to start building the trust. You want to really understand what they're struggling with. So these early exploratory conversations should be total probing, just like you're actually doing some coaching, but without the coaching part, you know, where you're actually probing, you're asking questions, you're getting them to clarify, you're getting them to slow down and really, like, look at, examine, well, why does that happen to you? Because a lot of people will be very generic or general when they describe their situation. And what ends up happening is they don't get real with really what's going on in their life. They know they're frustrated. They know they're feeling like crap. They know they don't have an out. They're overwhelmed or whatever is going on. It's an emotional experience for them. So what's important is that you get them to really recognize that. And then once they start recognizing that, then you can start having more this is obviously over a series of conversations. Then you can start introducing your solution. You know, have you ever thought about working with somebody to get coaching around that so you could actually achieve your goals? Well, no, not really. You know, well, why don't we talk about working together? Because, you know, I would love to help you. And then it becomes a conversation around how you can help them. And so that's when you talk about your actual coaching programs. You know, well, we can do one-on-one. We can do, I have a program that, you know, is like group sessions, whatever, however you've got it packaged up. And in the beginning, you know, Joanne, if you're really trying to figure that out, it might just be more simple for you to just go with the one-on-one until you get more practice underneath. And then you can really start seeing, well, you know, these people really, I think they'd really benefit from a group dynamic. So I'm going to create a group program, because just knowing that there are other people feeling my pain is a good thing, you know, and they can kind of not sympathize with each other, but you know what I mean. They can get more inspired and feel better knowing that there are other people in there that are going through similar experiences. So that's really what I would recommend.
No, that sounds really good. So that's kind of that sort of research and inquiry can then easily, very comfortably filter into more of the kind of sales conversations then.
Yeah, I think if you know, work on your mindset, like we talked about in today's class, and really just because there's got to be some stuff in there around selling for you as well,
absolutely,
which is, you know, it affects all of us. I mean, you heard my story, right? I mean, and to this day, I still, you know, when I have to sit down and work in LinkedIn or pick up the phone and start talking to people, I'm like, oh, don't have to make another cup of coffee, you know. I come up with every excuse in the book to avoid doing it because it is not a comfortable place for me. I'm naturally an introvert. I like just focusing on my work and talking to the clients I do have. And, you know, that's my happy place. But putting myself out there and, you know, starting to invite those conversations and build relationships, before I do it, I resist it. I really do. I just, like, I don't want to do this. I distract myself and I try to do something else. That's why I say being in action is really helpful, because it kind of forces you to get over that initial you know, way to put it off, you know, that resistance. And then once I start talking to people, it immediately goes away, because I'm so engaged in who they are, what they're saying, and their story. And because I care so much about helping them, it's all of a sudden it's not about selling. It's like selling completely goes out of my mind. And it's about getting to know this person, understanding their situation, seeing if there is a common ground we can come together and are they, because I'm qualifying them as much as they're qualifying me.
Sure.
So really is that helpful?
That is really helpful, yes. It feels like a comfortable process to go through, because I think like you, I kind of feel I don't want to bother people, probably like many of us do, but that feels like a really comfortable process. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And another great thing is try to make it a daily habit. Mm-hmm. And reward yourself for spending 1-2 hours a morning or afternoon on LinkedIn. Even if you really never get to the point where you're picking up the phone and having a phone conversation with them, if you keep it in the messaging or you take it into traditional email and just go back and forth that way, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you can spend 1-2 hours every morning, you know, weekdays, obviously, doing LinkedIn. And for me, it's a great way to start my day because I feel like I've gotten a task done that I really don't, you know, naturally enjoy. And once I get into it, I'm like, that was pretty awesome. And those 2 hours fly by and I'm like, wow, I talked to some really cool people today. And hey, I got one who wants to have a consult call with me so I can actually maybe talk to them about working with me. And that could be a future client. And here's the thing. People don't know you're out there. They don't know you're out there. They don't know who you are. They don't know that there's a solution, an elegant, beautiful solution through working with somebody as a coach that can actually help them improve their lives and have tremendous breakthroughs in what they're trying to do. And that's the first thing is you have to put yourself out there. You have to reach out and raise your hand and say, here I am. And once you get their attention, then you start building the relationship. It's about letting them know that you are curious, that you want to understand what their situation is. And see, that information alone is going to help you and anybody who's listening. It's going to help your business identify your ideal client. You're going to learn more about what things trigger people to do certain behaviors. And you're going to hear, if you're a good listener, and if you're a good coach, you're a good listener, right? So you're going to hear what's not being said. And that's where the magic lies. And when you take the time to ask someone a question like, well, why does that happen? Or tell me more about that. Or like probing, deepening questions, as opposed to just taking it at surface value. That is a very loving, caring thing to do, because you giving them time and taking an interest in them is a heck of a lot more than they're probably getting from the people they work with, their family, their spouse. And that goes a long way in building a relationship. Actually taking the time to sit down and have a conversation with someone that's about them. And I think that type of engagement is what really is valued today. Because everything is so fast-paced, everything is so yesterday. It's you know, like, when do you need it? I need it yesterday. And people just are not taking the time to have quality anything. We eat fast, we sleep fast, we work fast, we jog fast. You know, everything is bam, 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 because you've got to get on to the next thing. So when someone actually will be committed to sitting down and having a conversation with you or you with them, that's huge. That's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, that was a little soapboxy there.
No, it was great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, we still got 10 minutes left. Joanne, if that's good for you, I'll open it up to somebody else if anyone else has a question they'd like to ask.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Linda.
And hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a referral with a website, And it gives me monthly reports to kind of know what's going on and who's looking at my profile and that type of thing. So I notice it's not like person-to-person talking, but I get a lot of people looking, but I am using it as a marketing ploy, I guess. And so they're looking, but I'm not, in my opinion, getting as many calls from those people that are looking. And it would be people that are pretty much in my niche that are actually visiting. But I have gotten some calls, and they've been great clients. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess maybe if you could give me an idea of what I might do maybe differently, or because basically what's on there is the people that I see, and it has, you know, a link to my website where they get much more information. Trying to remember that profile. But anyway, I just, for the numbers that are visiting it, I don't think I'm getting a great return on those that call.
Which referral site is it? Is it Numi?
No, it's actually, which I found was interesting that I could get on this, but it's Psychology Today, but they have coaches on there.
Yeah, actually, I found a coach through that website. That's so funny you say that. Wow. I actually forgot about it till just now. Yeah, Psychology Today. Yeah, from what I remember, their listings are pretty scant. They basically have the picture of the person, and tell me if this is different for you. Picture of the person, their name, obviously, where they're located, and their specialties, like marriage counselor, you know, business coaching, blah, blah, blah. So I was looking, just to use my example as a prospect, I was looking for a counselor that could help me with grief. And because I'm a widow, and this was way back then when that was all going on. And so it was a very specific focus, but I also wanted somebody who could help me in my business. So I knew that the grief counseling I was going to be receiving would obviously have a finite amount of time. Mm-hmm. But my bigger question was that would have been ongoing is like, can this person also, after I invest all that time letting them get to know me, can they help me with my business? Because this was back again, excuse me, in the early days when I hadn't quite mastered my mindset in the early days of my business.
Okay.
So it became very, very helpful. So, but that was it. That's like all the information that was there. Now, is yours similar to that, or is there more information? From a link to your website.
Yeah, it does have on there like maybe a range of what my fees are. It lets people know whether or not I accept insurance, and I do not. And, you know, a lot of counselors do. And so they have that as part of their profile, and I've often wondered if that was the reason a person maybe only needs coaching but would opt out for counseling because the insurance will pay. So,
Okay. So, all right. Let me nip this in the bud because it's almost 4 o'clock, and I want to help you. Okay. So, are you doing strictly coaching, or are you also doing therapeutic work?
No, strictly coaching.
Strictly coaching. Okay, there's your first challenge right there, because Psychology Today, you're going to get more people who are looking for a true therapist, like someone who can do counseling, which we know in our training that is totally distinct from coaching. Okay, so that's the first strike against you. The second thing is if people are going through there looking for, even if they are looking for coaching, they will be, you know, affected by the cost structure. So if they can't get insurance coverage in order to pay for it, which is so basically we were talking about how she has a listing on Psychology Today, and she's getting reports that show a lot of people looking at her listing, but she's not getting consult calls or emails or responses that actually lead to conversations that lead to clients. What I initially mentioned was psychology implies that it's more of a counseling therapeutic situation, so people may be looking for something other than coaching what's currently available. So that's part of the problem. The other problem is the insurance thing. So my recommendation is that you do something similar to what I suggested for Joanne, and that is to start, take control of your lead generation process. You know, you reach out to people and start conversations. It's fine to have yourself on these aggregator sites, but remember, you're competing with everybody else on there. So if they're only giving you a certain way to present yourself, it's very limiting. Even if you have a link to your website, you're still asking that person to do that additional research. Mm-hmm. So save them that aggravation and start looking for and building relationships with people that fit your ideal prospect. And a great way to do that is through LinkedIn. There are other ways to go about doing it depending on what you specialize in. For example, if you're a coach who focuses on relationship issues.
And that is exactly where I am. Okay, go ahead.
Well, then I would spend your time on, unless you're doing professional relationships, you know, like how to reduce conflict in the workplace, how to have a better relationship with your team, how to be more of a leader at work, like that kind of relationship stuff, then I would, yes, keep going in LinkedIn, because remember, it's a professional business context environment. However, if you're doing something that's more on a personal level, if you're dealing with people like, you know, if you want to be a coach for a troubled marriage, like a couple, they're newlyweds and they're having trouble in their first year, if that's what you want to specialize in, then I would look at Facebook. I would create a place and a brand around what it's like to have this awesome marriage. And usually you're going to, in that specific situation, you're going to, in more cases, get women reaching out to you than you will men, because women are the first to typically, I know I'm generalizing, but typically notice when there's problems in the marriage, and because they're more sensitive and they're just one that are more apt to want to do something about it as opposed to the men. Now, I don't want to exclude men. There are men that will actually take the first step, however, in that situation. So as you start really thinking about your ideal client and what they're experiencing in their life and the problems that they're having in that particular thing, that's how you want to approach the conversation. And do your research. Start building, you know, those relationships and reaching out to people. Now, on Facebook, it's a little bit different protocol. I mean, it's pretty standard in LinkedIn because people want to have, you know, they use invitations to connect, and it's more about, you know, networking and business relationships. And so it's a little bit different energy and context in LinkedIn. In Facebook, it's more like your friends, your family, hey, look at me, I'm going to the Eiffel Tower, blah, blah, blah. So in Facebook, the approach that you want to take is more an approach that's based in advertising. Now, the crappy thing about Facebook advertising is it's expensive, and you have a lot of trial and error. So if you're going to do it, just be prepared for that. And there's also, like I was saying, on lynda.com, there's a lot of training on Facebook advertising. But I wouldn't jump into the deep end of that. I would start very gradually. I'd create a coaching practice page, and I would run a $5 a day like campaign that was based on a message around solving those problems. And speak to that person, that ideal prospect, like they're someone you're coaching. And try not to use the word coaching or, you know, the how of how you coach. Just really speak to trying to understand their problems, their situations, and offer your assistance. You offer your, you know, you want to be a guide. You don't want to be the rock star or the hero. You want to be the guide. Your client is the rock star. Your client is the hero. And that's how you really want to tee that up. So I'm running a like campaign on my website or on my Facebook page right now. And it's basically, I just say, you want to simplify your marketing I mean, that's pretty much the core message. And okay. scale your practice and do all these things. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it that that can really start putting you out there and start having conversations. And then you can do specific marketing where you can create a webinar, put it on Facebook, have people opt in, and then they join your list. And then you can start, you know, generating leads by cultivating that list. So okay. list building is really, really an important part about marketing in your business. That's where the gold is. So people might not be ready to buy now, but they will be down the road after they get to know you and get to see all the cool stuff that you're mm-hmm. sharing. So you can see, Linda, that there's a lot of different facets about marketing your practice that mm-hmm. you know are really in your control, and you want to control it. You want right. to control the message. You want to control the audience. You want to make sure that what you're putting out there, you own. And you're able to absorb all of the benefit from it. So mm-hmm. that's what I would recommend. I think that being on those sites like NewMe, Psychology Today, I think that's all fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does make it a little more difficult for you being solely a coach through something like Psychology Today. I would recommend that you look at possibly NewMe or Thumbtack even is another one you can use for, you know, listing your services as a coach. And remember, be specific. So say exactly the problem you solve and start, you know, just pick one audience to start with, and then you can expand from there. But okay. once you get known for being that relationship coach, you can coach relationships around teenagers. You can coach your relationships around, like I was saying, newlywed brides. Right? You can coach, you know, all different types of audiences. And the more specific you get and like calling them out, the easier it is going to be for them to say, oh, she's talking about me. I need to hook up with her. She knows my pain. Oh, this is going to be good. I actually found somebody who can help me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that helpful?
Very helpful. And your new me, is that N-E-W-M-E?
No, sorry. It's N as in Nancy. O-O-M-I. I think it's one I. Let me see here. Yeah, it's one I. So it's N-O-O-M as in Mary, I.com.
Okay, and Thumbtacking.
Yeah, let me see.
Okay. Oh, my goodness, Terry. This has been so helpful. Thank you for calling back in.
Yeah, let me just double check on that. The NewMe directory. Oh, it is two I's. I apologize. Yeah, I thought it was. So it's N as in Nancy, O-O, M as in Mary, I-I.
Okay.
And .com. And it's the Professional Coach Directory.
Okay.
So it's specific to coaches. So when you put your listing in here, you'll go into the category of relationships. There are 1,111 relationship coaches. And
wow.
it's broken down by focus and by state.
Excellent. Thank you so
okay.
much.
So I think you'll do a lot better on NewMe than on Psychology Today. But if Psychology Today is not charging you, I would just leave it there.
And they're not. They gave me the first 6 months free. So I think I have until June.
Okay. Well, just let it run. And then since you're not getting business from it, I would probably not. Because they're going to ask you to sign up for a full-time advertising with them to be in their listing, mm-hmm. paid. That's mm-hmm. how they get you. You know, they get you in there. You get start getting a couple clients like, this might be a worthwhile investment. But if you're not getting an ROI on any advertising, stop
right.
doing it. Fix what's broken. Go somewhere else. Get it right. And then you can invest. Because advertising does work, but you mm-hmm. have to find the right place to do it.
Yes.
Okay, so listen, thanks everybody for hanging on a little extra time here because we had some tech difficulties, and thank you, Linda, for your patience as well. And I hope everybody enjoyed today's call. Don't forget, we've got the final of these three calls that's going to be in 2 weeks, same day, same time. And I hope to hear all you guys on the next call. And if remember, feel free to email me, and don't forget to go to the special, which is better3.com/special, and you know, see if there's something there that might be interesting to you. And remember, you can always just reach out to me with your questions, okay? So everybody, thank you, Amy, for hosting the call, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.